Right, let's move on. It's time now for our regular motoring feature for a Saturday morning. Daily Maverick motoring journalist Melinda Ferguson takes the wheel until 9 o'clock to give us the lowdown on some of the latest cars on the road and keeps us up to date with the latest motor industry news. This week, Melinda is reviewing for us Korean car maker Kia's newest and smallest SUV. It's the Sonet, which marks the brand's entry into what is a sort of burgeoning B SUV segment in South Africa. There's tough competition, though, in this class. So how does the Sonet stack up against its competitors? Let's find out as we welcome Melinda to the show. Hello.
Hi, darling.
How are you?
Just listening to you on death, and I'm going to talk about something a lot more inconsequential than death, and that's cars.
I don't think it's inconsequential. I think it's fun. This is the Kia Sonet, which is, I already know, I don't even have to ask you about what segment it's in, because I know it's in the B segment crossover. Just remind us what we mean when we say crossover, please.
So, crossovers are kind of smaller SUVs. SUVs are basically built, most of them, on a bucky platform, on a pickup truck. So you'd get like the Toyota Fortuner that's built on the Hilux, the Hilux bucky's platform. Uh-huh. And something like the Ford Everest would be built on the Ford Ranger's platform. Now, crossovers, or CUVs, crossover utility vehicles, that's what they stand for, are actually usually built on a passenger car's platform. So they're smaller.
Okay.
And they're definitely not as capable as a big Range Rover or a big Fortuner going all over the place, like over mountains and that. But they are also built to be off-road, kind of, good enough to go on some kind of medium off-road.
Okay. So this is the Kia Sonet. What else, throw some names out there for what else we might see stacking up alongside it and see in its class.
Well, you said it's a burgeoning, and burgeoning is the right word, but it actually is, let me say rather, overflowing.
Okay.
It's become a very, very hotly contested segment in South Africa. Across the world, actually. I mean, I've got a few interesting stats.
Mm.
In the USA, 40% of the American market for new cars are crossovers.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And crossovers and SUVs, the market has grown from 35 million in 2010 to 200 million a decade later. So it's been a global trend that people have kind of forgotten about sedans. Sedans are really a dying breed. I mean, they're beautiful, but people are going for SUVs, crossovers, for various reasons. Bigger, better, kind of more capable. And so South Africa, in this kind of budget crossover market, obviously the manufacturers are all throwing their hats in.
Mm.
And we have got the VW T-Cross there, the Hyundai Venue, the Honda WRV, there's the Toyota Urban Cruiser, there's the Suzuki Brezza, which is actually the twin of the Urban Cruiser, and then the Nissan Magnite has just been launched as well, alongside the Sonet. So as you can see, there's good product, but they are all gunning for sales.
My experience of crossovers is when I was pregnant, I knew that I needed to get a bigger car because I had, may she rest in peace, the Fiat 500. She's not, she's somebody else is driving around in her now. And I knew, and it seemed to me like a crossover would be just what I needed. I needed something a bit bigger, a bit meatier, but I didn't want a proper SUV. And my experience, and you will be able to talk more about this, my experience of this segment is that there's some really nice stuff out there and there's some really crummy stuff out there, and when I say crummy, it's more that it's trying to be something that it's not. And a lot of, and I was speaking to a friend of mine yesterday who's also looking at getting a new car, and what we were saying is that in this segment there is often what you're getting is nothing more than a sort of souped up hatchback. The sort of the outside of the car, it looks bigger than everything, but then you get inside and it just feels like a normal hatchback. And the boot space in some of these crossovers is terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you. I think the particular ones that I've mentioned, they're not actually crummy.
No.
So there's a cheaper, there's even a cheaper kind of crossover segment than this one.
Okay.
And this one, I think, is populated by pretty good product.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't mention the Ford EcoSport, which is also in there. It's been a huge seller for Ford. But what I found interesting, I mean, I'm hoping you're going to ask me how it stands up against its competitors.
I am.
Because I'm about to launch into that.
That is my question. Go.
Yes, yes. So what I loved about the Kia media briefing, I think it was like 10 days ago, is that a lot of the time when we go on these launches, the manufacturer doesn't want to mention the competition. I mean, it's insane. So you'll go like, who's the competition? And they kind of like look the other way.
Oh,
but what Kia did was they bought up a whole big PowerPoint showing quite a lot of the competition and showing how the Sonet outdoes it.
Mm.
So in very a brief way, because I'm not going to sit here for the next half an hour telling you all of the PowerPoint, but something like the EcoSport 1.5 Ambiance, it doesn't have, where the Sonet does have this, it doesn't have a touchscreen, it doesn't have Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, it doesn't have a rear-view camera, and it doesn't have a leather steering wheel.
Mm.
It's also, I think, about 20K more than the Kia Sonet.
And it's got a tiny boot.
It does have a small boot. And I knew you were meaning that car, because it definitely doesn't have a great boot. I went traveling and it was like, you have to put the back seats down if you're going to have any meaningful space. Something like the Toyota Urban Cruiser, which is doing really well. Of course, it's a Toyota, so they always do really well. They've got pretty similar spec to the Kia Sonet, also a 1.5 litre engine. But what it doesn't have, and this is where I think the Sonet has absolutely outclassed its competitors, we spoke about the Suzuki Swift having something called ESC.
Yeah.
And I did explain the electronic stability control a few weeks ago, but I'm going to rejig your mind and rejig anyone who's listening for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Electronic stability control has been called the next best invention compared to the seatbelt. So it's actually an incredibly good safety system, but many cars don't have it. And basically what it does, it basically stabilizes the direction of a car's wheels. So when you're slipping, skidding on wet roads, and we've got so many incidences of this at the moment because the weather's horrific, it basically monitors the rotational speed of the wheel, and then it works to actually stabilize the wheels so that the wheels won't skid and go out of control. A very, very important safety system. And the Sonet is the only one in the segment, that has this.
Okay.
Which
big
for
tick.
Me, yeah, is a big, so we've all got ABS, we've got EBD, we've got some passenger airbags, but if your car's going to go out of control and you can't stabilize it, those airbags are going to do nothing in the end.
Yeah. We're chatting to Melinda Ferguson this morning for Car Talk, and this morning she's reviewing for us Kia's newest and smallest SUV. It's called the Sonet. Who is the target market here? I'm assuming it's probably like me.
Yeah, mummy. Kids.
Mommy, yeah.
I can say easily, because I've tried the front and the back, some of these cars in the segment do suffer from like lack of leg room for passengers at the back. Yep. This one is pretty good. I'd say a family of four, two kids, mommy, daddy, or mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, depending on one's gender proclivity. you know, I think it's very, very nice for, say, four people. I also think a younger market is being aimed at in this section, because a lot of young people want to have that feeling of an SUV. They want to be able to go and do adventurous kind of trips, driving. So sporty kind of people, you know, who want to get out of the city, that you don't have to go like mountain rock climbing in their Hilux. Yeah.
I like it, and it reminds me a little bit of the Haval H2, although I think it might be a little bit smaller. How you say you've been in front and back? How was it? How does it feel?
I was very impressed by the cabin space. I was impressed. I will talk the boot space. It's got 392 litres. It's the highest in the segment. So for someone like you, who's been whinging about the boot space in the segment, I think you'd actually really find it quite acceptable.
Okay.
Jane King, Makwala. Yeah, the Haval, I never thought of that. I kind of see what you mean by it looking kind of similar. I think it's got very, very good design elements. And one of the things Kia is very well known for, especially with the Sportage, which is an SUV, they've received a lot of design awards in the last decade.
Mm.
So they've definitely put some of that design flair into the new Sonet.
I like the Sportage, by the way. Jeff is on the line. Jeff's got a question about ABS braking. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Gals. Melinda, the ABS makes a hell of a claim to say that it's the next best thing since seatbelts and sliced bread, but does it use the braking system? Does it use the braking system as well as the acceleration? And it's all electronic, I presume. But what happens if one's driving and then, you know, you put your foot on the accelerator or the brake, it doesn't correct your correction, if you know what I'm saying?
I'm planning it. I caught a few words, but I found that line incredibly hard to hear from my line.
I'm also struggling. Jeff, sorry, would you repeat the question for me? Hi, Jeff. Just repeat the question. We're struggling a little bit with the line. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. The EBS is the next best thing since seatbelt. It's a big, nice claim. But does it override your own braking, your own acceleration in the event of a skid? I know it's all electronic, but I mean, does it work with sensors or what?
I kind of got what he was asking. Look, those kinds of safety systems are in, I would imagine, a much more premium, more expensively, where you kind of get auto, you know, where someone runs in front of you and you basically get autonomous kind of braking. In a Volvo, in a BMW that's going to cost a couple of million, it doesn't have an intuitive system like that. I mean, it's relying on the driver. I don't think you'd find anything at this price that does this kind of autonomous instinctive thing, if that's what you're asking. I still didn't completely hear what you were asking.
Yeah, sorry. I think Jeff's line was a little bit difficult there. One of the criticisms that I've seen from your motoring colleagues is that the Sonet is a bit plasticky inside. Is that a fair comment?
You know, that's such a strange thing to say, because one of the comments I made at our dinner after we had driven it was, I said, I'm so impressed that it's not plasticky. It's got some really, and maybe it's a girly thing, but it's got some really nice finishes, almost like little shiny snakeskin touches in the cabin. I thought because I've driven all the other competitors besides the Magnite, the Nissan Magnite, I've driven everything else. I said, wow, I think this is a lot more good quality finishes. And of course, you have got leather steering wheel and a bit of leather finishes. than its competitors. So I would not agree with that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Listen, I'm looking at the time. We're going to have to move on. What did you love about it? What did you not love about it?
Okay, so I just think it's honestly one of my cars of the year this year so far, along with the Peugeot 2008. These two have stuck out for me as just, of course, the M3, but like I'm talking about affordable cars.
Yeah.
It's really come up tops for me in terms of my impressions. I loved what it did on gravel. It was unbelievable. It was wet conditions. We were on the Himmel in Arda kind of valley area where we went on some dirt road. And I, and along with all my colleagues, we spoke quite highly afterwards about how we thought it was so stable. Its chassis was really good, very safe on a gravel, dangerous type of road.
Okay, all right. I'm going to hazard a guess at a price in just a second, but just talk us through different models.
Okay, so we've got, it's only one engine, okay. A 1.5 petrol. There's an auto. And then there is a manual 6-speed. And I must say the auto has got a CVT gearbox, but I found it surprisingly good because I don't like CVT gearboxes. And then there are two trim levels, an LX and an EX, which is the top of the trim line.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hazard a guess price-wise. And I'm sort of basing this on the fact that I know what others in its class are, just because I do, because I had to do a bit of research a couple of years ago. So I'm going to say 274,500
rand. Jeez. My darling, you are very good. But the manual LX, which is the entry level, 1.5, comes in 10 grand less at 264,995.
Yes. Okay, the manual.
And then I'll quickly tell you that the top of the range, the CVT, which is the auto EX, is 305,995. Also very competitive. And one more thing. Kia offers an unlimited kilometer warranty or guarantee. I'm not sure which one it is. But it's so they've got the best in that, in the whole segment. So it's basically a 5-year unlimited kilometer warranty. And a 4-year, 60,000-kilometre service plan.
Okay, that's not bad at all. 305,000 for the top of the range. I don't think that's bad, actually, to
it's
be honest
really,
with you.
It's really, really well
priced. Yeah, not bad.
I'm serious. If you're looking for something, I'm going to put you on to this car because you know me. I'm always telling you what you should
you
drive.
You are. I really like it. I like the look of it a lot. Listen, out of 10, please. We know that we started a few weeks ago quite high and that sort of scuppered you for the future. Go. You've got 10 seconds to tell me out of 10.
I'm going to give it a very, very good 8 out of 10.
An 8 out of 10. Not bad at all. Next week, you're doing the new Hyundai i20.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it because I like that. It's a nippy little hatchback. Lovely. Melinda, thank you very much indeed. We'll chat again next week. This has been Car Talk.